Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, February 8th, 2017. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today, I'm talking with Jason Mitz about his adults-only trip to Walt Disney World over Marathon Weekend. Well, welcome back to the show, Jason.
Hey, thanks. Good to hear you.
So, this was a weekend. Obviously, there were a lot of guys around. It was Diz Dads Club Convention 5 weekend as well. Yep. But, you know, you were here primarily because you were getting an opportunity to take a vacation, you know, get away with your wife over Marathon Weekend, and kind of hooked up with the dads a little bit along the way. Why don't you talk a little bit as we get going here about sort of how your trip came together? Because, I know you've done somewhat similar trips before. How is it that you ended up this time doing your adult trip to coincide with Diz Dads Club Convention weekend?
Well, this was a very unique trip for my wife and I. And, I had spoke to her about wanting to go down for the Diz Dad Convention, and she was excited for the marathon. And we weren't going to pull our kids out of school. So we purchased points, and we stayed at the boardwalk, which we really like to do. And location for us. It's a high priority target when we stay at Disney World.
Right.
And
right.
So it was very unique because, yes, we've taken trips together without the kids, where we've gone to either the Flower and Garden Festival or the Food and Wine Festival. And this time we each had our own kind of time away from each other while being at Walt Disney World, because she had things tied up with the marathon and getting to the show for the expo for the right. marathon. And I had stuff to do with the Diz Dads if I chose to, or I could get over to see you guys. So it was pretty fun.
Now, I know that in the past you've taken these trips, you stay out at Boardwalk, and you know, you have sort of extended family who's there at the same time with you. Was this one, you know, totally just the couple's trip, just the two of you this time?
Yeah, it was just the two of us.
Nice.
Yeah, right. I would, and we each, you know, we did stuff together, and then we also did things where she was off on her doing her thing, and I was off doing my thing. It was really different for us this time.
All right, so talk to me then about the, you know, nuts and bolts, I guess, of the planning process for a trip like this, because you know, you each had your own things going on, but obviously you were going to try and do some things together as well, and you were staying, you know, in your favorite part of the resort, because there are things around there you like to do. So, you know, what things were on your kind of priority list for the planning parts of this trip? Like what things were worth making reservations for? What were the things that you were kind of putting in place to make sure they were there for the trip?
It's a really interesting point, because before we left, we got annual passes. We went on and spoke with the people at Disney, and we purchased our annual passes because they had the deal for you get the extra month, 13 months for
right,
the price
right,
of
the 13th 12. Month included.
Yeah. So we set that up, and then at Christmas, we sprung a surprise trip on our kids that we're going to take them back Memorial Day. We're arriving on Memorial Day and staying there for 10 days.
Nice.
And they, and so we, it was kind of a no-brainer for us to purchase annual passes. So that was part of the planning, trying to figure out, you know, what's all included. Is this really what's best for us and our family? And we determined that for my wife and I, it was. And okay. then really with it, it kind of centered around her and what she needed for the marathon, because let's face it, I was going to go drink beer with the Distant Heads and she's going to go run, she's going to run 26.2 miles or, well, she trained for 13.1 and that's what she was there for. But it did end up being the 26.2 because of the weather that happened while we were down there. But that was really the priority. It was to make sure she had what she needed. So as far as dining, we only set up a couple of things. Like we're big beer garden fans, so we set that up. And we wanted to have one nice sit-down meal together, so we did the clam bake over at the beach club. And then other than that, it was just kind of on the fly because I didn't know where I was going to be. I knew the Distads were going to have the picnic over at Saratoga Springs, and we're going to have the meetup at Beer Garden as well. So, I mean, dining-wise, it was kind of interesting.
Well, yeah. So let me ask you about that, because you just said something about, you mentioned Beer Garden twice. So did you have your own separate Beer Garden reservation on top of Beer Garden with the Dads?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. because, well, and when I met up with you guys at Beer Garden, I didn't eat.
Oh, right, right.
I just had the beer and talked with the guys and met some guys that I'd never, you know, met before and things like that. And then we, the day after the race, I knew we had another Beer Garden reservation. So yeah, then I ate. I ate like there was no tomorrow, because that's one of my favorite places.
Okay, but
to
you
eat
saved up drink. For that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. That makes a certain amount of sense. I don't know. I don't know that I could convince myself not to eat while I was at Beer Garden, but you're a stronger man than I, Mr. Mitz.
Well, the beer was good.
That's true. The beer does help. It's a healthy distraction.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's kind of get down to the brass tacks of the trip itself then. And any you know, surprises with the travel? I know that you're kind of veterans of this. You've done it before. Everything go as expected?
Oh, sure. You know, we get up at 3:30 in the morning and fly out of Moline. Layovers or, changing planes or whatever in Atlanta this time was no issues. And we arrived in warm, sunny Orlando on Wednesday. And it was nice for the first 2 days we were there, but then we did have some weather issues.
Yeah, it did get a little chilly later in the week, especially, you know, around half marathon time.
That's true. I'll be honest, you know, in Iowa, it was very cold when we left, and I wore a stocking hat and gloves and my coat into the airport and then tucked them into a bag. And I figured when we returned home, I'll just put that stuff back on, go out to the van, get it warmed up, and we'll leave. And it turns out for 2 days at Walt Disney World in January, I was wearing a stocking cap and gloves and wasn't overly warm either.
Yeah. That's true. All right. So no travel issues. You arrive. You've got 6 days in front of you. What was the first theme park that you visited?
The first one that we did, we just walked over to Epcot and just
kind of
took it in.
Hard to resist that thing at Beach Club.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, well, and between that and Hollywood Studios, when you have that close access, which is something that we really value. Yeah, you know, just getting over there, and I had an Innocent Gun, which is my staple, and we just walked around World Showcase for a little bit, and we had dinner that night at the at Beach Club for the clam bake. So it was a nice first day.
Right,
right.
And that's Cape May Cafe, the all-you-can-eat seafood buffet.
Yes, excellent as always. Really, it's for a seafood buffet, for them to keep it fresh and so good. It's a lot of respect for that crew.
Yeah, they do a nice job with that meal. It's one of my favorites. So let's talk then, you know, about Epcot generally, because obviously you spent a lot of time at Epcot. I mean, that's why you stay at Boardwalk, and you were at an adults-only trip anyway. Plus, you know, the dads like to hang at Epcot. So let's talk about the things about Epcot that just kind of stood out for you on this particular trip, you know, either in positive or negative ways, but things that left an impression.
Okay. something that was kind of unique about this trip, I'm going to come back around to Epcot here as well as the other parks, but we only had a few fast passes that we set up because I wasn't sure how my wife was going to handle the marathon and the exhaustion from that. And quite frankly, because we knew we were going back in a few months, we weren't really tied down to a lot of fast passes. So one of the mornings when we got up, I walked over with my wife to Epcot and we rode Soarin' twice in a half hour.
Okay, just taking advantage of relatively low crowds and being there early.
Yeah, low crowds and an early and a nice gateway the boardwalk.
International Gateway.
International Gateway. Thank you. Gosh, stutter and stammer so terrible. But yeah, walking through there and just basically walked right on, and then got off and rode it again. And it's the new Soarin' with the crystal clear picture and the new show, which is really, really nice. A little bit more of a thrilling aspect to it than I think the other one was, maybe a little bit more laid back, but a really good show.
Okay. So maybe talk a little bit more about that, because we've had some conversations on the show recently about it, because obviously, you know, a number of people rode it for the first time, and we've been talking to people who were there, you know, all at the same time, really, in January. You mentioned that you liked the show. You felt like it was maybe a little bit more thrilling. Any other impressions of the new version of Soarin', the Soarin' Around the World show, as opposed to the earlier show, the, you know, Soarin' Over California, basically, version of the show?
Sure. I do have something that I found kind of odd. I don't get motion sickness, or it takes a lot for me to get motion sickness. You know, I've ridden Mission Space on the Orange, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 times, never had an issue. But when we rode Soarin' the first time, we were in the center group of seatings, okay? You know, they have the three.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go up and it's you do the attraction or whatever. Well, there's a certain part of the attraction where you are in Paris and the Eiffel Tower is lit up.
Yeah.
And the second time that we rode it, we were on the left side of the seatings and I was like the second seat. So you didn't see the Eiffel Tower wasn't straight up and down. It was like angled or it bowed or it arced a little bit.
Right.
Off
right.
That
yeah, the,
side.
The distortion that you get along the edges. Yeah.
Yeah. That really, that caused me a slight issue, which in the past, it didn't matter where we sat for, you know, the original Soarin' Over California, I never had a problem. And this time, even going through the rock formations in what would be like Utah or Nevada or something like that, or that got me a little bit.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I actually, we've been talking about exactly this issue quite a bit, which is obviously why I prompted you to talk more about it. But, you know, my impression had been that the impact of that, and I'm just going to count myself lucky that I didn't have motion sickness issues with it, because I do tend to get motion sickness. You know, I have issues with that sometimes. And luckily, you know, I didn't. I mean, it may be that I took the meds I always take to avoid it, and maybe that helped. But I guess the thing to me that I keep coming back to is it just seems to me, and I apologize in advance to listeners who, you know, have now probably heard me say this four times and you know, it sounds like I'm whining, but it just seems to me a brain dead, stupid decision by the Imagineers, for lack of a better way to say it, to emphasize these, you know, man-made wonders instead of the natural wonders of the earlier version, only because it seems to me that those more angular, you know, long, straight, tall spirals, right? The mm-hmm. Eiffel Tower, the Taj Mahal, the, you know, all of these destinations had these, you know, very architectural, angular elements to them. And that's when the distortion seems to me to be most pronounced.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, you think about the Soaring Over California when you're in the hang gliding, I think it's through Yosemite. I think when the big waterfall and the and you see the other hang glider cuts through there, you know, the distortion on the sides is irrelevant because it's mountains and it's natural. And even in the new one, when you're through the elephants in Africa.
Right. Yeah. See, it doesn't matter so much there.
Right. But when you have the architecture, just like you said, it really brings out the distortion, and that's not so good.
Right. And I guess it's frustrating to me, right? Because it's made all the worse by the fact that the picture itself is gorgeous now.
Yeah.
You know, it's so clean and so crisp up until the distortion hits.
Yeah. Yep. That's a good point. Yeah, exactly.
All right. All right. Enough of my ranting. This is your trip report.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. And so it's a bit of a knock.
So, nice opportunity to get a couple of rides in at Soarin', and I think that's a good strategy for folks, by the way. You know, trying to juggle the only attractions at Epcot that really need Fast Pass are all grouped together in one tier.
Yeah.
So, you know, hit one of them that you don't have the Fast Pass for early, and you could probably even get in more than one ride. And anything else about Epcot stand out, you know, including other days that you visited Epcot or other times you came through the park?
Oh, sure. Yeah. We also did the new, we utilized our Fast Passes for the new Frozen attraction. It's cool. You know, it's nice. It's not really my wheelhouse as far as, you know, I'm not a real big, princessy Soarin', or excuse me, a Frozen, lover, but, you know, it's a nice addition to the park. It's a nice, crowd disperser, if you will. You've got Test Track, sure, and then Soarin', and then the Frozen attraction takes people around through the other side of the park. So it's nice.
Yep. I would agree. I had to give up my Fast Pass because I was running late to the, I think it was running late because I had to get a couple things done before I could go back out for the bar crawl. So I missed my Fast Pass because that was Beer Garden Day, right?
Boy, could have been.
Yeah. All right. So you did get a chance to ride Frozen Ever After, you know, well done, but not your cup of tea so much. And any other Epcot, you know, things that bear mentioning?
No. I mean, the food's always good. The drinks are always good. The crowd levels were decent or very, very manageable, even for marathon weekends. So it was just a good days at the parks.
All right. Well, in that case, let's climb into one of those friendship boats and head all the way across to Hollywood Studios, nice and slow-like, and talk about, you know, anything that you experienced over in Hollywood Studios that stands out, show, attraction, food and drink, whatever.
Okay, here's everything I did at Hollywood Studios, because I rode Star Tours like 6 times, and then I went to the launch bay and basically just geeked out for like an hour and a half looking at all the stuff, because my wife was off doing the expo thing again. And I just basically, that's all I did. I didn't do Rock and Roller Coaster. I didn't do Tower of Terror. We did come back one evening and watch the Star Wars fireworks as well at night, which was also pretty awesome. But other than Star Wars, I didn't do anything else whatsoever, and I was perfectly fine with that. Oh, I also watched the afternoon the show that they do, and like when the First Order marches through and stuff like that. Oh yeah, man, that was great. It was great. I'm a huge Star Wars fan and a Star Wars nerd, so I'd forget about it. It was great.
Even with no Jar Jar show?
Hey man, come on. yeah, not a lot of that merchandise there, surprisingly.
That's an interesting point, actually. There's very little prequel merchandise.
And that's okay. That's okay. That's, you know, with their focus on the new Force Awakens, and I'm sure the Last Jedi that's coming out here, you know, they're not going to rehash or try to rebrand or re-merchandise the stuff that really was kind of a scratch on the nice car of Star Wars, if you will.
Probably true. All right. Well, so not a whole lot to talk about in the studios, but you know, plenty of time then that means to spend in some other parks. Did you get a chance to spend any time in Disney's Animal Kingdom on this trip?
I did. And this was the day of the full marathon on Sunday. And here's what happened. The Florida weather was very disagreeable for the half marathon, and there was a lot of lightning and foul weather, so they canceled it. They canceled it on Friday night, and the half marathon was supposed to be on Saturday. So late that night, what they did was they gave you several options as to what you could do if you were a half marathon participant.
Right.
You could. There were limited availability spots for the full marathon. You could get 2 days of park hopper tickets, or they took your registration and would transfer it to another Disney half marathon within the continental United States within a year.
Okay.
And as it turns out, basically everybody got pushed to the full marathon if they chose. But here's something that was kind of grumbly amongst the runners. And, you know, as a general guest of the parks, it didn't affect me in any way, shape, or form. But since my wife was running, she was very frustrated that they didn't seem to have a plan or any type of protocol for weather-related issues, because they'd never canceled one, or they'd only maybe canceled one other, I believe was what we'd come to find. So, you know, they had to stay up rather late to find out what was going to happen. And if you have to at 1:30 or 2 o'clock to get to your corral in the first place, that makes for a pretty short night of sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that they probably did have a lot of folks who were really frustrated because they'd gone to bed early and, you know, didn't discover the cancellation until they woke up ridiculously early the next morning.
Yeah. And I was astounded, you know, the number of people that come down simply for the half marathon and don't purchase park tickets. They come down to run, they enjoy the Disney part of it through the parks, but then they fly out. So if the half marathon's canceled, their flights were leaving regardless. They couldn't stick around for the full marathon, a majority of people. So it was interesting, and there was a lot of bitterness and hurt feelings, I think, that were tweeted, if you will, and used other social media outlets to show their disgust or their disappointment.
Yes.
But my wife basically said then on Sunday, I'm going to run. And Animal Kingdom was where the 13.1 marker was, where they have a big pad and a big banner and you can get your picture taken and all that.
You're halfway there.
That's right. Well, she had trained for the 13.1, and she was going to run to that spot, and I waited by that, by the banner, and I rode Everest real quick, and then I waited. Well, actually, I rode it twice, and then I waited for her, and she got to the 13.1 mark, said, you know what, I feel great. I'm going to keep going as far as I can. I said, fine, you're on your own. So she took off. I was freezing. I was going to stop at the Dawa Bar and try one of their sunrise cocktails, but they were delayed in opening, and it was so cold. I just decided to move on. So
I got to say, I was really disappointed. You know, Terry and I showed up to do another, you know, Dawa Bar rope drop, and basically, you know, we got there and waited for them to open. But when they opened, they basically said, "Oops, sorry, no sunrise cocktails today."
What?
So what? Terry did ask them about it a little bit, and I think what we learned sort of, you know, bore out what I had assumed was the issue, you know, the reason that they only sell them for an hour and then they stop making them. It seems that essentially the bar has no kind of kitchen space or facilities at all. So they can't put together their basic fixins for those special drinks. All of those come to them from Tusker House's kitchen. Mm. And for whatever reason, that morning, Tusker House didn't get around to, you know, getting their stuff ready. And so there were no, you know, there was no prep for it. So there were no sunrise cocktails.
Jeez, that stinks.
Yeah, we were pretty bummed.
Yeah, I would be too. I mean, that's kind of a thing for you guys at the Disc Dads conventions to hit those up. And you've said that they were very good in the past.
Yeah, we really enjoyed them.
But I'm sure there's other little girly drinks with umbrellas in them that Terrence could enjoy somewhere else in the park.
We did find alternative morning cocktails at Dawa Bar, but it was not the same as the, you know, I mean, and I'll say, you know, we said it when we reviewed them, we didn't love all the drinks. We tried them all. We didn't like them all. But there were a couple that were truly outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
That sounds good.
All right. So you missed Dawa Bar because they weren't ready to open. So you moved on. And what'd you do instead?
I went to the over to Epcot because that's where the marathon was going to end. And I got over there and it's, I've never been there for marathon weekend before, but when they run through the parks, the arteries of people that move through there, the sidewalks and the walkways, they're kind of, you know, lessened because there's only so much room because you have to have people running through there. And so, I came through International Gateway again and, I went over to the bakery in France and got lunch real quick. And again, nobody there, just walked right in and got something to eat, had my own table and grabbed something quick. And then I walked over and I met up with Haj and Carl. They were over there having a beer in Germany. And then Randall and his wife and some of the other guys came through there. Joe Masters was there. So we kind of hung out by Beer Garden for a little bit and had a couple beers there.
Very nice. Always a good place to hang.
Yeah. Yep. And they had to get moving and had fast passes and reservations for other things. So I went around and waited for my wife to finish the marathon because she finished the 26.2 and then we got back together and went back to the resort, and by then we had transferred over to Coronado Springs. We were staying there for one night when we had some flight issues early on with changing of flights and things like that. So we had to stay an extra day. Oh, darn. But
so disappointing.
Yeah, I know. It's just awful, isn't it? And so we got some dinner, and then she took an early night, fell asleep by about 6 o'clock, and which I don't blame her. And I watched a couple of football games and had a couple beers at the at the pool there at the dig site bar.
Oh, okay. All good choices. Yeah. So, anything, you know, like anything stand out attraction wise or, food or drink wise that really kind of seemed exceptional to you about your experiences at Animal Kingdom?
At Animal Kingdom, no, it was just business as usual.
Okay.
You know, it was cold, and riding Everest when it's super cold kind of puts you in the Himalayas there with the Yeti, I guess. I didn't move. I moved about as much as he did because I didn't want to. I wasn't going to wave my arms around too much.
It was disco mitts.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah, about your koala. But yeah, it was fun.
All right. Well, the only park we haven't talked about yet then is Magic Kingdom, which is, you know, where you were the only place you didn't really head as part of your marathon treks either. So did you get a chance to spend some time in Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, actually, the one big day that Monica and I spent together, we spent it all at Magic Kingdom.
Very nice.
And we got there for rope drop, and they still had the welcome show at the train station. And we went through there. We rode the double-decker bus again because it's a sentimental attachment to us after our Grand Marshal time there. And we literally, I mean, the crowds were pretty good, but we walked on Jingle Cruise. Jingle Cruise was still up. Christmas decorations were still up, of course. And so we did Jingle Cruise. Then we walked right on to Pirates. Then we went over and walked on to Splash Mountain. And, I mean, no waiting, no issues. It seems like everybody that went in there, all the whole crowd went off to the right for their Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or whatever, which one of the days we did have fast passes for that, which we took advantage of. And I will say that they had a 90-minute posted wait time for standby. And from the time I scanned my Magic Band until I was ass in seat on Seven Dwarfs was 9 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was well worth the fast pass for that. And then, we were done, and we kind of walked around, and there were some, we did have a couple of something, you know, as many times as we've been to Magic Kingdom and Disney World, we had never, you know, when you come up to Cinderella's Castle and you walk through it and the carousel is right in front of you.
Yeah.
Off to the left is a little gift shop. Of course, there's all kinds of retail places, but I don't know if there's a Bibbidi Bobbidi boutique inside of there, or when you get that done someplace else, this is the gift shop that it kicks you out to. But Cinderella's dress was in there, and I'd never seen that before.
I think they call it Castle Couture store.
Could be. Yeah, that sounds familiar. Yeah. And we were just wandering and walked in there and saw that. That was really interesting. It was kind of a cool little bit of Disney to see.
So do we get pictures of you trying on Cinderella's dress?
No, I only look good in blue. And this was the pink one.
It
brings out the anger in my eyes. Something that we do as a family is every time we go, I bring home a coffee mug and Monica brings home a Christmas ornament. Well, early on, she had a Christmas ornament customized that said, 2017, 13.1 for the half marathon. And we had it delivered back to the resort.
Right.
Well, the last day, or the Monday when we were leaving, that morning we got up and took the ornament back to the Christmas shop in Magic Kingdom and asked them if they could add a 26.2 to it, and then we just have it shipped home. And we talked to the lady and a little bit of pixie dust. They added the 26.2 for us and a little bit extra on there for no charge.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, and shipped it home, and it's hanging up right now in an ornament holder that we have on our mantle. And she's really proud of it, and I'm really proud of her for doing that. But it was really nice of that cast member to step up for us like that.
Very nice. That's a great thing all around. I mean, your wife gets something to commemorate the race that she ran that she wasn't really prepared to run. And the cast members kind of went outside the box, did a little something extra and made it a positive thing instead of being a symbol of frustration of the race she didn't get to run.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really nice.
Excellent. All right. Well, so we've kind of talked around parks. Anything else about Magic Kingdom stand out? Just, get to see or do anything else that was new to you or different, or anything you especially liked about, getting to see some things that were sort of still in their holiday best?
Well, I think as a whole for the trip, not being, I don't know how to phrase this, but we were able to just kind of casually lounge through Magic Kingdom. And, when there's been times where we've gone with just my wife and I, or we've gone with extended family, or we've gone with the kids, where it almost seems like you're on a mission. Like you've got to get to this, you've got to get to that, because the clock is ticking in Orlando because you're going to have to come home soon. Well, knowing, like I said before, knowing that we're going to go back here before too long, and that we weren't pressured into having to get things done because we've done, I've ridden Peter Pan, 20 times, or I've ridden, Small World once. We didn't have to do those things. It was nice to just kind of walk through there and enjoy the day.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think when you're traveling solo or you're traveling with just adults, and that you get a chance to realize that just absorbing the parks is its own attraction.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. And, I like to people watch and to see the people, enjoying their day and enjoying their vacations. It was nice. It was really nice.
Right. So that's park stuff. Let's move outside the parks for a minute and maybe talk about anything that you experienced that stood out one way or the other outside of a theme park. You know, there are restaurants, there's Disney Springs, there are resorts. What are some of those things that really stood out to you on this trip?
For me, I have to kind of go a little negative on this, was the new stuff at Disney Springs. And
really? Okay. Love to hear
about that. The bus stops that now take you, the main bus stop that drops you off kind of over by where the World of Coke is and the Planet Hollywood, yep. When that opens, that's where the main bus stop is now, instead of down at the end, like where the Christmas shop and the co-op are. And they've added this new row of gallery stores or boutique stores like Under Armour or the place with the socks. Its name escapes me now.
Is it Mismatched?
No. They advertise on Facebook all the time. Anyway, they have Disney socks and college socks and things like that. And it's going to kill me. I can't think of that. But, you know, it really has turned it into more of a retail shopping center that is outside the Disney bubble for me.
All right. I can see that.
And it was really kind of, it wasn't that the stores weren't nice. It wasn't that the merchandise that they have wasn't nice. It's very boutique-y and kind of upscale, but that's really not why I go to Disney, you know, for shopping like that. Around the original walkway that takes you over towards Splitsville, those little shops that traditionally, like there's a Marvel and a Star Wars place, and there's like a big candy thing and the Harley spot, you know, those little shops through there. I really felt that those had so little merchandise in them, you know, like the Marvel stuff. You know, I'm a big Marvel guy, and I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I like the Infinity Gauntlet movies that they've made and things like that. But they really didn't have much, even for Doctor Strange. You know, they didn't have much. It just seemed kind of bare bones. And same with the Star Wars shop. It was really the same items that you could get at World of Disney or at any other gift shop in the park. I'm not saying that they needed to have exclusives. It just was just kind of meh.
All right. I think that's a valid criticism. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how that part of Disney Springs sort of evolves, right? Because, I mean, I think we know that's expensive retail space. So the stores that don't perform there aren't going to last very long.
Yeah, exactly. And, and I will say, though, as a positive, that co-op market that they put down at the end is probably one of my favorite places to go in and browse to look.
Yeah, that place is a blast.
It is. It's just got some very – it did have some unique things you didn't see at the other stores or other – places. I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah. All right. Any other dining experiences anywhere around Disney that stood out to you one way or the other?
I can't say enough good things about Raglan Road. One of my favorite places to eat. We've eaten there probably four or five times. We always get great service. The food is good. Of course, they serve the Innocent Gun that I like so much, but the environment and everything, and I think it's priced reasonably for Disney food. I simply can't say enough good things about it.
All right, excellent. All right, well, so we're kind of getting to the conclusion here of the show, where we usually kind of start asking some wrap up questions. So, the first one is, you're looking back at this trip. And 5 years from now, you know, how many more trips will you have taken to Walt Disney World and other places? But 5 years from now, you're thinking back, what's that thing about the 2017, you know, marathon weekend trip that you got to take with your wife? What is going to be the thing that sticks out in your mind that you're going to remember that sort of says marathon weekend 2017 to you?
Well, I mean, my wife, of course, will remember the running part of it. And the one morning I did go down to the, when we were at the boardwalk, I went down to the Boardwalk Bakery for breakfast. and Monica was sleeping in. Well, I was getting her coffee and, you know, and our food and whatever, but they were running the 10K, I think, through the boardwalk area. And I wasn't aware of that. And when I got off the elevator at the resort, all of a sudden I hear like, you know, hooting and hollering. And I was like, what in the world's going on? And when I came around the corner, I saw that all that cordoned off and all the runners were going through there. Oh, and yeah. So I went and I got breakfast. And, oh, I met up with Jay Gilbert there too. He and his daughter were there. They just happened to go walk through. And so we talked there for a couple minutes and stuff. But I was there long enough or late enough that the runners were done and like the final Disney people on bicycles and
the sweepers,
yeah, were coming through. And within like 5 minutes, the entire boardwalk, all those cones, all that cordon, all of that stuff that would have let you know that there's a marathon or an event coming through here, all of that was gone. Not a single evidence of it. It was back to the regular boardwalk just in a matter of minutes. And that was really, really impressive.
Okay. So there's the memory for it. Now, you know, the other end of this is you took a trip, just you and your wife, you got away, you got to do your own thing. I can tell right now that there are dads listening back home who are saying, that sounds cool. So what's that one or two bits of advice that you would give to somebody else who's thinking about this kind of a trip?
Well, if you just take a trip with a getaway trip with your wife.
Well, I mean, a trip like the one you took, you know, where it's a getaway trip with your wife, but that you've, you know, got sort of, you each have your own agendas also while you're there. You know, what's one or two tips that either are things that you think would be helpful to somebody else or that you wish somebody had told you before this trip?
Oh, I think the important thing is to just relax. And, you know, if you're going down there on a trip with your wife or significant other, and, you know, for me, my other priorities were the distads. So meeting up with those guys and I had something to do was great. And she had her priorities too with the expo and the marathon. So just relaxing and that lack of stress, like I talked about before, about, you know, gosh, if you go to Magic Kingdom, you've got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Man, just take it easy. Just relax and enjoy the time and enjoy the trip.
I think that's great advice. I think that'll make a big difference for a lot of folks. So, Jason, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your experiences on this trip. And looking forward to hearing some more about the next one, you know, when you get back from the family trip.
Hail Hyde.
Little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dreamfinder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.